We're reading this morning from John, and it's chapter 20, and the passage we'll be reading is verses 19 to 23. Jesus appears to his disciples. If you have a church Bible, it's on page 769, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
So John's Gospel is full of really wonderful, meaty, theological truths. Little one-liners that are so deep, so profound, so full of meaning that a dozen sermons couldn't really cope to encapsulate it all. Now, the obvious ones that spring to mind are the so-called I am sayings: I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the true vine, I am the light of the world, and so on. But this morning I'm going to focus on two verses which I feel contain as much theological significance as the more well-known I am sayings. The verses I'm referring to are those in John chapter 20, 21 to 22. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Two short verses, but packed with depth and meaning, I think, for us today. So what does it mean? Well, firstly, I think this means that we are a pilgrim people. We are a pilgrim people. Because Jesus said he is sending. The tense used here is the present continuous, and it signifies an habitual, ongoing state of being. So when Jesus tells his disciples that he is sending them, he's not sending them out on a one-off task, like my mother used to send me down the shop to buy tea when I was young. But when Jesus sends them, they remain sent, because being sent has become their ongoing natural state of being. So in the same way that fire is hot, ice is cold, rock is hard, to be a Christian is to be sent. So what does this mean? What it means, as I said, we're pilgrim people. We are all in the process, the state of being sent by Jesus. It means that we are all, both individually and corporately as the church, on a journey. It's a journey that began when we became Christians, and it's a journey that has an eventual destination, home, heaven. But it's also a journey without a map or detailed instructions. In the Bible, we're given instructions on how to travel, and we're given warnings about some of the dangers we're going to face, but we're not given any specific details about the particular route we're going to be taking on the road ahead. We don't know in advance the various twists and turns the road is going to take. We only know that we have been sent. Now, some of us might have a vague idea of the direction that we're travelling in, but we don't know every twist and turn, we don't know every detail. So this means that we need to listen to the one who sent us for instructions. We need to listen to the one who sent us for instructions. So in the same way that we have to listen to our sat-nav in the car, as it gives us directions one at a time as we need it, so too, we need to listen to the one who sent us four directions as we travel. Now, of course, it's possible that Jesus may send us to one place to do one thing for a very long time, maybe the whole of your life. Some of us get sent all over the place, but some people get sent to Witham to be a teacher for their whole life. We don't know where he's going to send us. But what this means is that we need to make sure that we don't get too comfortable. We need to make sure that we don't get too settled down. We mustn't make ourselves too at home, get too attached to our jobs, to our institutions, to our house, to our possessions, to our ministry. Because although we're called to enjoy these things, we're a pilgrim people. We're supposed to travel light. We're supposed to be ready to travel at a moment's notice. So we never know when the one who sends us will give us our next set of directions. Because the Bible tells us that we are strangers and aliens in this world. We're only passing through. And we need to be ready to obey those next set of directions. Because as Marguerite and I found out earlier this week, missing your turning leads to a very lengthy detour. So we're a pilgrim people. However, we're not just sent out to wander aimlessly around. As Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So we are sent out by Jesus in the same way that the Father sent Jesus. So not only are we a pilgrim people, we're a pilgrim people with a purpose. So the Father revealed himself through the one he sent, Jesus. And so Jesus reveals himself through the ones that he sends, us. So just as Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so too we need to make sure that anyone who sees us sees Jesus. So our purpose as a pilgrim people is to reveal the one who sends us. Now we do that by continuing the ministry of Jesus, by doing the same sort of things he did. Jesus' ministry is the pattern, it's the prototype, it's the blueprint of what we should emulate. Now some things we can't do, like having a virgin birth, having a carpenter for a father, wandering homeless in the Middle East for 3 years, dying on a cross for the sins of the world, some things we can't do. But we need to look at what Jesus did, look at the things that were important in his ministry and make them important in our ministry, in what we do. So for instance, Jesus was people focused, not problem focused. And what I mean by that, he didn't just see the sin, he didn't see the problems, he saw the person underneath and he ministered to that person. And although he will judge the whole world, Jesus wasn't judgmental. And by that, I mean he didn't write people off. He persevered with them. Just look at his disciples with all their petty squabbles and foibles. And also, Jesus wasn't very particular about the people he hung around with. He mixed with rich, poor, wise, foolish, good, bad, clean, smelly. He mixed with everybody. And he ministered to them. And I'll just quickly skim through some of the other ways in which our ministry should emulate that of Jesus. He was people-focused, not problem-focused, but he was a problem-solver. So he met people where they were, and he ministered to their needs where they were, regardless of actually whether they followed him afterwards or not. Jesus was a prophet. He warned people about the coming judgment. He called them to repentance, and he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. Jesus was a preacher whose teaching drew people from all over Israel because it spoke into their lives. Jesus was a physician. He healed people. He freed them from possession of unclean spirits. Jesus prayed. And Jesus gave praise and thanks to God. And we're called to do all of these different things as part of our ministries. So in our ministry, we should be people-focused, problem-solving, prayerful-minded, praise-filled prophets, come preachers, come physicians. amongst other things. We need to look at what Jesus did in his ministry and do the same thing. So we're pilgrim people sent out with a purpose and a pattern to emulate. Now, I don't know whether that excites you or scares the pants off you. But thankfully, Jesus didn't just say, carry on and leave. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. The giving of the Holy Spirit to the church is inextricably linked with the sending. The giving of the Holy Spirit is inextricably linked with mission. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So just as Jesus started his ministry after his baptism in the River Jordan, filled with and empowered by and guided by the Holy Spirit, so too Jesus intends that us, his pilgrim people, start our journey similarly, filled with, equipped by, empowered by, guided by the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Holy Spirit in mission cannot be overstated. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of mission. Everything that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, his preaching, the healings, the miracles, everything happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. And likewise, if we want anything to happen in our ministry, it has to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, our efforts at mission are a bit like a Formula One car that has no fuel. It looks like all the other cars. It has all the right bits. It has all the right adverts, you know, and it feels like it. But with no fuel, it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to achieve anything. It's not going to win any prizes. The Holy Spirit is what powers mission. The Holy Spirit is what makes mission work. It's the Holy Spirit who opens hearts and ears to hear the good news. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals who Jesus is. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sin. It's the Holy Spirit who gives birth to new life in us. And if we want our preaching to have any penetrating power, we need to preach in the Holy Spirit. If we want to see miracles, and why wouldn't we? We need to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we want to see healings, and why wouldn't we? We need to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what makes mission work. No Holy Spirit, no effective mission. And more than that, mission has to happen under the prompting, under the guidance, the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit isn't just the fuel, the power of this Formula One car. The Holy Spirit's also the driver. The one who sends us has sent us to work in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And people, we are junior partners. The Holy Spirit has not been given to the church so that he will work according to our direction as we see fit, according to our agendas, to make us look good. The Holy Spirit has been given to the church so that he can direct us as he sees fit, so that we will work according to his agenda in this ministry, which is to bring glory to the Father, to the Son, and to himself. He hasn't been given to us so we can feel good and look wacky. So as far as the question of practical application goes, maybe a change of attitude is needed. The question shouldn't be, how do we make sure the Holy Spirit is involved in what we're doing? But how can we make sure that we are involved in what the Holy Spirit is doing? not how can we make sure the Holy Spirit is part of our ministry, but how can we make sure that our ministry is what the Holy Spirit wants us to be doing. So in conclusion, two short statements. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Two short statements, but I think rich in meaning and challenge. Firstly, we're a pilgrim people. Secondly, we're a pilgrim people sent out with a purpose and a pattern to follow. And finally, we're a pilgrim people sent out with a purpose and pattern and given the power to do so through the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we must never forget that this is a privilege and that we're working in partnership with the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that is in charge, not us. The Holy Spirit has been given not to help us meet our agenda, so that we can help him meet his. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have called us to be your people, that you have given us new life, you've given us new purpose, and that you have given us your Holy Spirit to live in us, to transform us more into the likeness of Jesus, and to equip us and empower us to go out and do your will. Lord, help us recognize that you don't exist for our benefit, to make us feel good, but we exist for your pleasure. And that you've given us this wonderful privilege of being your hands and feet to go and share this good news. And help us, Lord, follow your direction to go wherever you've sent us, be that to Witham, Colchester, Chelmsford and beyond. That wherever you send us, we will go out in the power of your Holy Spirit to share this good news and to do as you would have us do, so that you will be glorified in our lives and throughout this your world. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.